get you through the night.
I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope. Daddy gonna give you something to drink now.
In the studio with Hardwood Forest Connor, Investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. And, of course, you can call Shelley there at 828-298-5402. Or, Shelley, if someone is lucky enough to live in the Asheville area, how can they come and see you behold in person?
You can drive out to see me at 12... What's my address now?
1271?
1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
Okay, just take 40 there. You're right off the exit.
Exit 51.
And tell her you want to see the silver dollars.
Not the bead-shaped ones, though.
The bead-shaped ones?
Remember our previous show or two? I don't know. The guys who smuggled the beads.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. Mm,
yeah.
Ew, yeah. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, please don't be that guy. She gives everything the smell test before it comes in the door. Also, before we get into Dark 30 material, I mentioned, and this is something that you should know about if you're an investigator. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen this by now. We're going to post it at the Speaking of Strange website. The flying people seen over New York. It's part of a promotion for an upcoming movie, and they have these amazing flying humanoid shapes that are controlled, doing these incredible aerial acrobatics around the Brooklyn Bridge and the Statue of Liberty. And now it gets complicated for us, because over the years we've been intrigued by flying humanoids. Now you don't know if you're just looking at a guy with one of these cardboard cutouts. You just watched it, Shelley. What do you think?
Well, it does look like people, mm-hmm. but still it looks wooden.
Yeah, they're pretty stiff.
Yeah, they're pretty stiff.
But it's amazing what they've done.
Really cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. So speakingofstrange.com. So that's what's happening, or has been happening, in New York. Here's a story from Brooklyn. I saw a while back, maybe a couple weeks ago, that some of the Burger Kings around the country are getting into the delivery business. Did you guys know this?
What?
Oh,
yeah. They have decided their way to get an edge in today's tough economy is to take a lesson from Pizza Hut and Domino's and whatnot, and to deliver Burger King food the same way pizzas have been delivered. And they claim it's been a technological problem, making sure that the food is not soggy, that delivering burgers and fries is a bit different. And so now, I don't know how widespread it is, but yeah, Burger King is going to start having some deliveries, which I think is fantastic. Unfortunately, I don't eat a lot of fast food anymore for health reasons. It's not good for any of us to eat big, greasy burgers. They're delicious, but
well,
it's just going to make you fat.
It's not good for you to step out in front of a bus either. But
but listen to this. In Brooklyn, the delivery concept has really caught fire, because now you apparently not only can get pizzas and burgers and so on delivered. But there is a store that specializes in adult entertainment that is now delivering toys on demand. I have no idea why this really is necessary, if this is just a marketing ploy, but it apparently is true. It's called Babeland, and they are delivering kinky treats right to your home within an hour. They've teamed up with a bike courier company to bring these adult goodies to residents of Brooklyn. And so they say that you can get your... I don't know if it's appropriate for me to say this word, but let me just put it this way. If you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, maybe you're familiar with Bilbo Baggins. That's a clue to what they're delivering.
I think they're getting the vibe of what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
It's a Bilbo Baggins-oriented product. And they say, oh, this should be no different than just getting Domino's. Spokeswoman says, hey, it's New York. You can get anything delivered. And so you call them, and they give you a rundown of various things that you can order from them. They have a website where you can look at it. And it seems like poor planning to me if you need to order this up and have it delivered. But on the other hand, I don't know what people in Brooklyn are up to. They must be having a lot of fun there. But you can now get, they say, one of the most popular ones is the Hitachi Magic Wand. Well, obviously Valentine's Day is approaching, so if you are a poor planner and it's last minute and that's your cup of tea, so be it. Let's move on here. I had a story that I didn't get to earlier that might have a relationship here to the next story I'm about to read. Do you recall me talking about the Chicken McNugget whore?
Yes.
Out in California?
Yes.
Well, and by the way, in the UK right now, there is a 17-year-old who has been hospitalized because for 15 years she has nourished herself with nothing other, really mainly, than Chicken McNuggets. For 15 years, this girl has been eating Chicken McNuggets every day. That's how she's living off of Chicken McNuggets. So maybe that has a connection to the Chicken McNugget whore, but nonetheless, in Shelby, North Carolina, police have charged a woman with prostitution. They say that she performed a lewd act on a city street a few days ago. She's 25 years old, and she did this for $6. That's how bad the economy is. If you just look at how much it takes to get a little honk honk, wankety wank on the sidewalk, it's $6.
She's walking down South Lafayette Street there in Shelby and is like, hey, $6, what
you want? You've been there, Forrest.
Wow. I'm in Shelby.
Okay, so you might know her. 25, I don't want to say her name, but I'll pass this along to you. I think a lot of people have said her name, though. Say my name. $6. The man she hired gave her... This is odd. A $2 bill and then some $1 bills. Who's running around hiring whores with a $2 bill? So, yeah, when the economy gets bad, it's good for the whoremongers. Okay. Let's go to Thailand. What do we have happening in Thailand?
Lots of stuff.
You can just imagine. A man in Thailand has been apprehended, and apparently police pulled the guy over for whatever reason and found that he had, in the trunk of his car, more than 1,000 pairs of women's underwear. So they went to his house and found that this man had 10,000 pairs of women's underwear, that he had been stealing it since the age of 18. And apparently the guy would put them in his car and smell them while he was driving. 10,000 pairs. And not surprisingly, this comes to us from Bangkok. But that's just gross, you know? It's just disgusting.
Yeah, but were they pretty or were they granny panties?
All, as long as they were smelly, that's all this guy cared about. Wow. Forrest, do you have a comment on that?
There's something fishy about the story.
Oh, God. Let's see here. An ancient mummy in Cairo had prostate cancer. They've discovered a 2,200-year-old mummy with prostate cancer, and this answers some questions about whether or not prostate cancer is caused by genetics or the environment. They say in this case it demonstrates genetics is a big issue. I'm going to say here, quote, living conditions in ancient times were very different. There were no pollutants or modified foods, which leads us to believe the disease is not necessarily only linked to industrial factors, end quote. So that's kind of disappointing that if you got bad genes, you got bad genes. You know why that Listerine was invented?
To freshen your breath?
That's a good guess. Shelley, do you know?
I would have said the same thing Forrest did.
Forrest, you know these ladies who are just, you know, you go out on a date with them and they're just here today, gonorrhea tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, Listerine was invented 133 years ago as a cure for gonorrhea. That's why it was actually originally invented. There is an article from 1888 which recommends it for that and for a lot of other things. They say, quote, sweaty feet, corns developing between the toes, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, you know, it caught on as a powerful germ killer. So there's this story I found online saying there are a lot of things, a lot of products that are hugely successful, but they were originally invented for something else, something other than what they were intended. You know, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, I have a creepy dentist story, love story regarding a vampire and a cannibal, all kinds of goodies. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. We call it Speaking of Strange.
A newborn, therefore a local girl. the dark.
It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And this is the hour when some of the stories, not all, but some of the stories are a little more controversial, outrageous, not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. So you might want to just, you know, tune out and tune back in for the next hour when something more family-friendly might come on the airwaves. But, hey, it's late, and as far as we know, this is all legit news stuff. In the studio with Hardwood Forest Connor, investigator Shelley Wright, talking about the fact that Listerine apparently was originally invented to cure gonorrhea. Gonorrhea. Here today, gonorrhea tomorrow. And there are other hugely successful products that were originally invented for another purpose. Viagra was originally conceived as a treatment for angina and other symptoms of heart disease. I know that could be easily confused. What was that? There was an old Jay Leno joke. What? Oh, gosh. I can't remember it now. It was a Bill Clinton joke, if that tells you anything. Where Bill Clinton had the heart attack, right?
Right.
And, yeah. And it was something like he told the nurse that, the nurse said, you have acute angina, and he said, so do you. Something like that. I don't. Bill Clinton jokes. Boy, we miss old Bill, don't we? Bill, I feel your pain. Feel your pain.
You got to bite that upper lip, that lower lip there.
Yeah, I feel your pain. Let's see here. Viagra was conceived as a treatment for hypertension, angina, and other symptoms of heart disease. And they kind of like found out by trial and error, there's a side effect here. But if it goes on for more than 4 hours,
seek professional help.
Go to Shelby, North Carolina with $6 and some chicken nuggets. Brandy, the delightful caramel-colored after-dinner drink, started off as just a byproduct of transporting wine. Apparently, about 900 years ago, merchants would just boil the water off of large quantities of wine in order to both transport it more easily and save on customs taxes, which were levied by volume. And after a while, a few of the merchants, maybe bored after a long day on the road, dipped into their inventory and discovered the concentrated or distilled wine actually tasted pretty darn good. So that's how brandy was born. Play-Doh. Play-Doh was invented in the 1930s by a soap manufacturer, and he invented it to be a fantastic wallpaper cleaner. And it wasn't for another 20 years that the guy's son, Joseph, repurposed the goop as clay for preschoolers and called it Play-Doh. That seems like such an easy thing to invent. It's amazing that
Play-Doh?
It's just, yeah, something kind of gooey and sticky, a clay the kids play with.
I wasn't allowed to play with Play-Doh. And
why?
My brother wasn't.
Why not?
He was very messy, and the right children, we just got into all kinds of things that we shouldn't, and it, yeah.
That's your problem.
Play-Doh would have been bad.
We've discovered why Shelley is so scarred.
We have.
Because I never got to have Play-Doh.
You
what else
rejected.
Did you not have as a kid, Shelley?
I don't know. Let me think about it. Play-Doh, definitely.
We know what to get Shelly for Christmas now.
We do. You can drop it off at Wright's Coin Shop, Sweden Creek Road, Asheville.
It can conform and shape-shift to anything.
But chocolate works really well, too. I had two listeners bring me chocolate.
Well, so you're a big chocolate fan.
Oh, yes.
And
just not with bacon in it.
Well, you know, I found something that might tie your interest into what I think is safe to say our interests here. In Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a large crowd gathered for a brand new product recently, and it's called Sexual Chocolate Beer.
Sexual Chocolate Beer.
Yeah, that's the name of it. Sexual Chocolate.
Mm.
And a beer drinker said, quote, "I am very warm in my coat. Had to skin a Wookiee to be here. It's basically a walking sleeping bag," end quote. What does that mean? Did that make any sense?
That did not sound very sexy to me.
Was it a cold night when they came out to premiere this beer?
"I'm very warm in my coat. Had to skin a Wookiee to be here. It's basically a walk." Why is that even included in a story about a beer? I don't know. Anyway, says here, yeah, they all went, hundreds of people, to the Foothills Brewery. And now they have debuted, yeah, this brand new beer called Sexual Chocolate. And I'm a little bit averse to chocolate beers. Now, I like chocolate and I like beer. And, you know, I'm open to drinking a chocolate beer. You're not, Forrest?
I wouldn't drink a chocolate. I'd try it, but...
Well, let me tell you why I'm a little averse to it. 5 years ago, I bought a brand new house, and our buddy, C. Eric Scott, the filmmaker, Mr. Big Shot Scott, who has a sweet tooth, decides to bring over kind of a housewarming gift. So he came walking in with a six-pack of Young's Double Chocolate Stout beer. And if you've never had it, it really is a thick, delicious, rich, chocolatey beer. In fact, I think the only place I've ever seen it on tap is Hannah Flanagan's in downtown Asheville. But you can imagine just a big, thick, chocolatey beer. And they sell it with a ball in the bottom to help kind of give it that extra draft fizz.
Yeah, it's like Guinness has, a little widget in
there. Yeah, like Guinness. So anyway, brand new house. He goes walking into the kitchen, and I was in another room, and all of a sudden I heard what sounded like a freaking shotgun that went off in my house. Just boom! And I walked in there, and there was Young's Double Chocolate Stout, like streaks of diarrhea dripping from the walls, all over the furniture, all over the carpet. I was just stunned. And he's standing there with that wide-eyed look in his eyes, still holding the six-pack. And I said, "I'm going to leave. I'm just going to leave. And you deal with this." He had dropped one of these from waist high. And this compressed can hit the floor and just, boom, exploded. You should see the can. I kept the can. It looks like when you put a load in a cigar and it's just shredded on the end. I had no idea. It looks like it would blow your foot off if this thing hit your foot. I mean, if you threw these at people, speak about, you know, protecting your property for 9/11. You just throw Young's Double Chocolate Stout grenades at people. I actually took a picture of this and contacted Young's Double Chocolate, and I said, "Look at this. What are you? Can you do something about this? If you can just send me some free beer, maybe we'll call this even." Never heard back from them. So, you know, Young's Double Chocolate Stout, if you're listening, you know, hook a brother up. Come on, you know, you can do something to compensate for what happened to my brand new house. When we come back, the dentist story, monsters, this is creepy, I think. And we're also going to talk about, what is this headline? Blue Balls of Jelly. Interesting. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Je Carolina, land of the sky. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the place to spend a late evening, and this is the Dark 30 Hour. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Turn the radio off if you are not interested in hearing some of the more outrageous, controversial, and to many offensive things that are happening in the world today. Because that's what we dig into this late hour of the program. You know, I've talked about going to the dentist, and I'm just not a fan of the dentist. Fortunately, right now, the dentist that I'm going to, I think they do a wonderful job. And Shelley, you referred me to the dentist I'm going to right now. I'm very happy with it.
Me too.
I have no problem with them. It's just the concept of the dentist in general. I hate the idea of people getting in my mouth and doing things. Well, here's a story from Fall River, Massachusetts. Apparently, a dentist there is in trouble. A lot of his patients have been complaining about various infections and other problems. For example, one woman took her teenage son to him. Afterward, the son's tooth turned black and had to be removed after a root canal. There are many, many different issues regarding this guy. And right now, the guy has been sentenced, the doctor, to 1 year in jail for assault and battery to what he's been doing, for what he's been doing to his patients. In addition to defrauding Medicaid of about $130,000, the guy was doing root canals, and I've never had one, thank goodness. Have any of you?
Okay. No.
Apparently, in a root canal, there comes a point when you're supposed to stick a steel post in the mouth. He was cutting back on his budget, and so he just used paper clips.
Holy crap!
Yeah, and instead of some hygienic, you know, disinfected thing. He was just, he'd just go to Office Depot or whatever, buy a box of paper clips, and jam these things into people's exposed. Yeah, it's one of those things. And yet, you know, I've said before, I don't like being at the dentist, but I don't want to be put out. I don't want to be asleep while they're working on me, because he could be sticking anything in there. And I mean anything. But especially you, Shelley. You should be concerned about this.
Mm, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that little tip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little tip, big tip. Here's a love story. This comes to us from Sweden. Here's the headline. Swedish cannibal finds vampire love behind bars. After meeting at a high-security ward and chatting on the internet, an infamous killer known as the Skara Cannibal and an infamous woman known as the Vampire Woman, two infamous Swedish murderers, have found love and are hoping to get married. MSN says, quote, he said, we got together on November 13th. Do you want to be my girlfriend? He asked. And then we decided to get engaged, and we did. So this guy, who is a cannibal, convicted of murdering a father of four in Stockholm, and this other woman, who is a vampire, who has murdered people and sucked their blood, they are hooking up. They are, I mean, I don't think they can literally hook up, but they are now getting married. And the guy there said that he didn't feel like eating his girlfriend. And she said, you know, she loves him. So it's just weird. I don't know. What more do you say about this, really? Just look it up for yourself. Swedish cannibal. So these two sickos are in love with each other now. A cannibal and a vampire lady. Okay. Here's a story from the UK. The day it rained blue balls of jelly. You know, we've talked about all these odd things raining from the sky. And we talked recently about, in the UK, tons of apples falling from the sky over a busy highway, and people were swerving and wrecking and so on. And you know, it's funny. I was when I was in Charleston, I was talking to Tony down there, Linda's daughter, and Tony said that one day she was driving down the road. I believe this was in South Carolina, and a fish fell on her car. And I've heard these kinds of things my whole life. I think she's the only person I've ever actually met who had this experience. It was just a single fish. So the presumption when that happens is that, well, a bird picked it up and dropped it. That's the best thing you can come up with. But she said it was a sizable fish, and it fell there, and you know, she ran right through it. And, you know, it was freaky. But anyway, here in the UK, they say, when it comes to weather, the British have proudly come to expect the unexpected. The blue, jelly-like balls descending from the heavens is perhaps pushing it. That's what a guy, Steve Hornsby, 61, saw when he was caught in a freak 20-second hailstorm. He was sheltering beneath the eaves of his garage in this downpour. And they say it turned the sky a peculiar dark yellow. And after the storm stopped, he realized that in addition to all the hailstones, the cloud had deposited these transparent, marble-sized objects on his lawn. So he scooped some of these in a jar, and he said it kind of looked to him like maybe gooey, broken glass. He said there must have been at least about 20 complete spheres that he collected, and he'd never seen anything like it. So right now these are being analyzed, and people are trying to determine if this could be the product of some, like, warped morphed eggs or something like that. I don't know what this is. We got to take a break. When we come back, are we good? Okay, this is right for the break. Okay, when we come back, we've got a couple stories here I'm going to share with you, and one of them is absolutely disgusting. It's so nasty. I'm going to have to think about how I read this on the air. It's one of those stories. It just kind of turns my stomach, frankly, to think about this story. And then I also have a story from the University of North Carolina. And this is a completely legitimate story. It's from the BBC. And the headline is, Testicular Zap May Stop the You-Know-Whats from Behaving the Way They Do Naturally. Is that making sense to you, Shelley?
Uh-huh.
What would a testicular zap do? It's going to change things in that part of the body. So these two very weird, and one of them extremely disgusting, stories that are, I guess, related in a loose way on the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
You done with entropy. Defining entropy as disorder is not complete. Cause disorder as a definition doesn't cover heat. So my first definition I would now like to withdraw and offer one that fits thermodynamics' second law. First, we need to understand that entropy is energy. Energy that can be used to state it more specifically. In a closed system, entropy always goes up. That's the second law. Now you know what's up. You can't win, you can't break even, you can't leave the game. Cause entropy will take it all, though it seems a shame. The second law, as we now know, is quite clear to state that entropy must increase and not dissipate. Creationists always try to use the second law to disprove evolution, but the theory has a flaw. The second law is quite precise about where it applies. Only in closed systems must the entropy count rise. The Earth's not a closed system, it's powered by the sun. So fight the damn creationists, do they get my gun. That, in a nutshell, is what entropy's about. You're now done with the discount. You're done with entropy.
Yeah, you know me.
You're done with entropy.
Yeah, you know me.
You're done with entropy.
Yeah, you know me.
You're done with entropy.
Yeah,
you're done with entropy.
Yeah, you're
done with entropy.
Yeah,
you're done with entropy.
Yeah, you know me.
In the final minutes of tonight's program, The Dark 30 Hour, I'm Joshua B. Warren. Be sure to visit hauntedashville.com to find out about our upcoming ghost hunts, our free historic tours on Saturdays. All that's at hauntedashville.com. And if you're one of those folks who really wants to get off the grid, go check out sunshinesymbol.com, the solar generator for the home that I created, sunshinesymbol.com. It's amazing what people are developing in the lab these days. Again, this is not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, but let's go to the University of North Carolina. Researchers there have a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because they have developed a testicular ray gun. That's right. A gun used to zap the family jewels. And they claim that if you take a man and you put him in a warm saltwater bath and you zap his precious parts with a 15-minute dose of ultrasound, so that's really jiggling things at a high frequency, you do that twice. Two 15-minute sessions about 2 days apart. the rate of his soldiers, shall we say,
swimmers,
yeah, drops so dramatically, this can be a form of future contraception, that men are considered sub-fertile after they go through this. And that they're just now trying to see if this is a reversible effect. So that's kind of the clincher. And all over the world, I mean, one of the big problems with poverty is overpopulation. So you put a man in a warm bath 2 days apart, you zap him with ultrasound, and after that, he's not so likely to have babies anymore.
Well, that's when you get into the whole eugenics debate again, which has been in the news here lately.
Well, but at least it's a form of contraception. You know, eugenics is when it's forced, maybe people
choose. Yeah, I mean, what's to choose like some government from doing this in some third world country that we don't like? Or some.
Well, yeah, it could be abused, I guess, but there are men who go under the knife for this same issue,
right.
And this might be an alternative for men who would like to be subfertile. It's kind of exciting. any comments on that, Shelley? I mean, it sounds good to me.
You would rather have them juice up the boys rather than just kind of, you know, use something else. I mean,
something from the Dark Ages? A rusty butter knife?
This just seems just a bit much.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound painful to you? I mean, this rain?
No. Well, it's ultrasound.
Warm bath.
It sounds pleasant, as a matter of fact. I put my iPod in my ears, and I kick back in a warm bath. Yeah, it sounds like a great experience. I might do it just for entertainment value.
All righty, then. You just let me know how that turns out for you.
So here is the really, really, like, gross story. Maybe some of you have heard about this. This is from TMZ. And it's a controversy right now that NBC has on its hands. You guys have seen the show Fear Factor.
Uh-huh.
And the worst part of Fear Factor is when they make people eat and drink things that they don't like. Now, I don't even know how that applies to fear, really. It's just gross factor.
I know where you're going with this.
You know this story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is nasty. I was talking earlier in the program about horses. Well, let's move on to donkeys. There are only two things that come out of a male donkey. And apparently the Fear Factor producers forced as a challenge on the contestants two mugs. And each mug was full of one of the two things that comes from donkeys, male donkeys. Okay? So one mug has one thing that comes from a male donkey, and the other mug has the other thing, and these people chugged these. It's so sick. NBC has decided not to air this, and they are threatening to sue the contestants if they talk about the fact that this is one of the contests that they were given. I can't believe they even did it, period. That shows you how desperate these people were to just make it on the show. But they did. They chugged both of these mugs, and that's what we call reality entertainment nowadays. So that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, and Mobius. It's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter at the site and the Twitter. Tune in next week for a brand new one, if you dare. You are commanded.